I can answer with a counter question. Is there only one web? I guess there are many layers in terms of different archives, depositories, images, texts, different publics working on materials, registered in the web. So there are many webs first, and there are at least two big webs. One is the web we know, which uses English as a common language to go throughout the world, and the second one is Chinese. We have not to forget that many research tools we use in the web are not used in China, mainly because of ideological, political reasons, and they are substituted by other tools. So there are, and it's a community of more than 1 billion people. So we have at least two worlds growing without knowing each other so much, which in a sense is a kind of paradox, because we believe that the web is a place or a square where everyone knows everything about everybody, which is not completely true for the reasons I've mentioned. I'm not yet fully convinced of that kind of interpretation or theory, if you prefer. I'm saying not yet, perhaps I will be in the future, but so far it seems to me that if we take labor, it's okay to describe the kind of economy working around the web as completely new, because with the digital revolution, we have mixed categories like users, consumers from one side, workers, producers from the other side. So we are at the same time producers and workers, users of what we do produce, and unconscious producers of data for the ones collecting the big data. So there is, in terms of analysis of the roles in labor, there is a complete transformation from what classical capitalism used to be. But that is only a portion of the idea. The other aspect, which means capital, to my view, has not changed so much. And in that sense, there is a continuity. There is a kind of evolution of capitalism through other media and other means. But I do not see a kind of regeneration or transformation of capital 2.0 into capital 4.0. In that sense, I would say that from the viewpoint of what capital is and what investments are, the web is a market. It's like a place where people show things and images and data and services, and like in the market, you can rent space for advertisements, and that has not changed so much. That is why I'm not yet convinced that there is a complete transformation in the way we produce wealth. Some people say that truth, that the difference between truth and what you call post-truth is based on the fact that truth was in a sense objective and post-truth is left to the opinion of the public. If that reading is correct, I wouldn't call that post-truth. It is simply something which has nothing to do with truth. It's an opinion. It could be a majoritarian opinion, could be thousands of different opinions produced by those active in the web, but opinions are not based on facts, and I still very much tied to the idea that truth is based on facts, evidence, scientific methodology, these kind of things. That has not changed so much. different perspectives. The first one is quite obvious that we are living in a time of de-ideologized politics, which means at the same time that the kind of 20th century politics we knew, which was based on big mass parties, the confrontation between strong ideologies, liberalism, socialism, communism, was also based on opinions and on a kind of narrative, which was pretty much distant from reality. So going back to the post-truth idea, in a sense, the pure communist ideology was a representation based on opinions and on hopes rather than on facts. The difference between that period of time and today is that today we have defragmented the narrative, so everyone is a teller. In the traditional big political parties situation, there were a few tellers, the big parties, but they also were making a kind of narrative. That narrative was induced through party schools, party magazines, training, information. Today is made through the social media and the media that we know. So it is. I think it's the same scheme which is based on big numbers today and was based on a few actors in the past. The second aspect you're asking is how that will impact on democracy. Difficult to predict. What we have seen so far, at least on the Italian situation, is that even if we quite recurrently say that everyone can propose himself or herself as a leader, at the end of the day, there is a kind of counterweight which is based on the big interests, including the capital, finance, state interest, which so far have demonstrated that it is not so true that everyone can propose himself or herself as a leader, as a prime minister, or as a big party leader. And the rapidity we are experiencing in Italy in terms of how short is the period of time a self-proposed leader remains in power, in a sense, is an evidence of what I have said. Of course, that all that can change depending on harsh conditions. So perhaps a new big economic crisis or other kind of tragedies like huge migration for different reasons from the south of the world could accelerate that process and perhaps really change what we have experienced until now. But that is, again, difficult to predict.